That's hard to do about hay, though. Now, me, when I take my shirt off and I hit the house and it stays off, it doesn't do that.
Is that right?
I guess if I could, I'd run a nudist colony. I don't know.
Well, now, but down at your office there, you all wear your clothes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, such as they are, we wear.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a good thing to keep the habit. Keep
it. I get home, well, my shoes and my shirt are going to come off. All right.
Yeah. I tell you, we dress around here sort of ragged, and some of our colored friends come up here, and we have to tidy up, put on our clothes, Miss Daisy and Miss Bessie, you know, down there in the lane, and they look right hard, and they start telling you. They don't like any work on the Sabbath. They just don't like it.
Well, I don't like it, but then I don't like it any other day either. But there's days when I just have to work. That's all.
Yeah.
I don't know
if it is.
Hay and equipment goes down on Sunday and the weather's right. He wants to go. He doesn't want to hear me talk about this. A day to be making hay.
Yeah. Yes, they quit fooling with it and put it over here.
Yeah.
I never saw anybody just fool with it.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Yes, that's a help, me. You have got out of the hay business you had and got irrigation. You had enough of that hay business for a while, didn't you?
I'll be back then. But you don't make hay all year round, thank goodness. No, we can get out. I was working on a hay bale yesterday afternoon. It's just been so dry there hadn't been any hay made since the rye and the oats was bailed up. Of course, I'm trying to get two other people trained to fill in. I can't do it all. It's impossible to do it all.
Yeah.
But on top of that, well, the bookkeepers always have a certain amount of questions to ask.
Yeah.
In fact, every customer calls in, even if he wants a part, wait, calls for me first. And
yeah.
Then we find out what it is he wants, and we go back to the parts department of the shop.
How about that? Well, that's all right for a year or two.
Well, they keep me busy. It's just, no dull moments.
Yeah. I was interested in Mr. Bourne. He's not an implement man, but he got that old County Asian background that ought to make him fit in about anywhere, oughtn't it?
Well, we figured that we knew the people in the area, and the people in the area knew him. He'd done enough farming of his own, that is, citrus and one thing and another, that he had a pretty good idea of that.
Yeah.
The only one thing about it, he's just not really sales-minded, and of course, we don't want high-pressure people. We want people to go out and tell the truth about something the best they know how. But he's so, in spite of meeting the public all these years, he's just a little bit slow about going out and making new acquaintances, it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta be just a little aggressive.
A little bit. And maybe aggressive isn't the word, but willing to should go. I mean, people call and are interested in something. Well, you need to go out and, or somebody tells you that so-and-so is interested, you need to make four or five calls. Aggressive isn't really the word, but I don't know what the right word is. But sometimes, you know, the person's not home, you have to make four or five trips, or you have to make some phone calls. Or sometimes, of course, I understand he's worked the years. I used to hardly ever get home before 10 o'clock at night. And the man was out, well, I'd go to sleep in my truck in his yard, you know, until he came in.
Yeah.
Catch him and then catch somebody after supper again.
Yeah.
He was frank. I mean, he said, I'm registered. I want to retire. I want to slow down. I don't want to get faster.
Yeah.
But he's a good help on irrigation now. He's a good man on layout that is drawing up systems.
And oh, really?
Yeah. And he doesn't know the mechanics of it as well, but he's learning it.
Is that right?
He's real happy during that time.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, out on there, these, I don't know, it looks like the work is going into the hands of the people who are pretty well equipped themselves to take care of it, the machinery. Now you don't have many small operators anymore.
We have quite a few. It's not like it was. I mean, of course the horse farms have moved in and squeezed out a lot of the older generation. Man came up here and offered you $800 an acre for your land, right?
Yeah.
The awfully hard choice to turn that down. You sit back and say, gee, I can put that in the bank and kind of take a trip now and then and do a few things I'd like to do. And this is happening to a lot of our old farm customers.
Yeah. I wonder if that used to happen that way. Did it used to happen that way when you were growing up?
Mm-hmm.
Not
a whole lot. No.
There wasn't much money.
We did around Cape Cod. We're up there a little bit. I mean, the summer people, as we call them, not tourists, but summer people, because they came down and lived for 3 months.
Yeah.
And the average Cape Codder tried to make $500 cash to carry him through the winter until the next crop of summer people came through.
Yeah.
And so that if they bought land from older people, but you know, people had large families, and usually they wanted to divide it up among the kids or pass the farm down to the kids.
Yeah.
You don't like following those footsteps anymore.
No, not at all. And all those old country houses, you know, nobody keeps them up. And they go to rack, they store old machinery. So you don't have a countryside anymore. It's all just improved, isn't it?
You haven't seen this week's Life magazine, have you?
No.
It shows some of the huge hotels or summer resort hotels that they used to have all over the country, and there's only a dozen or so left that still retain their old usages.
Like up at White Springs?
I mean, huge things where people just came in and spent the summer, you know,
had big old dining room.
Yeah.
Everybody got together.
One of them had a porch 800 feet long. This type of thing. Okay. It says it all, Faith. Now, all up there at French Lick, we went up there to a meeting. Alice Chalmers was showing their product line and invited everybody in up there. That was one of those huge old wooden hotels, you know, different wings and levels everywhere. And it used to just everybody packed up a certain time of year and went there and stayed.
Yeah. I was up at this one at White Springs a time or two, and I noticed about mealtime they'd gather there on the veranda. And some of them are people just passing through. They've been down going back up or the other way around, then they talk like they had been stopping there a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those old, I don't travel anymore. I can't afford it, for one thing. If I break down away from home, I'd never get back with them. And I used to stay at the old boarding houses.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there you could just sit around and read the paper with the family after supper,
mm-hmm.
and you'd get all the company you wanted. But now, if I was off in the same place, I'd be damned if I know where I'd go.
No, it, well, I used to do more business after supper. 6 o'clock supper, you know, farmer supper.
Yeah.
Used to do more business after that. Until after the war, with the advent of television. You can't get people to sit and listen to you anymore. You know,
oh, I see.
They got to be very interested.
Yeah.
And I know in my case, if Mary has visitors come in, you know, that one of the nurses come in to visit with her or something, and they're chattering while my favorite TV show is on, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not rude about it at all, but I know that they're making me miss a whole lot of my TV, and this is the attitude I think that many people have.
It takes a right smart profile just to reach over and turn off one of your favorite programs.
Right. It sure does.
Well, there for a year or two, I listened to the evening news, and I got so I hate to miss it. And I just said to myself, hell, that's the world we keep wagging without hear that evening news. And I just miss it on purpose every now and then.
But it has changed the way we used to do it. Another one of the changes, I mean, when I first started out, I did carry a lunch with me. Many places where there wasn't any place to get a lunch in a hurry, but in fact, any place that I was at, why, they'd want you to stop for lunch, you know, and if it was supper time, I'd come in and have supper, you know.
Yeah.
But that's long been gone. You,
yeah.
You
have
more tea?
Well, in a minute or two, not right this minute.
Oh, I may not do that in a minute
or two. You just relax, man. We're doing fine.
Yeah, you ride a horse through the country and take one and lead one, go out horse trading. First place you come to, you see, you could stop and they'd put your horse up for the night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, it was that way with selling farm equipment for you. You went on a demonstration one. They had planned for you to eat with them. I mean, they hadn't cooked anything extra, really, because they just were used to cooking huge meals anyhow.
Yeah.
They were really hurt if you didn't stop them.
Oh, you mean, I didn't get what you meant. You go out to demonstrate your equipment.
Yeah, selling or anything. If you were there at lunchtime, and invariably they'd ask you, almost hurt them if you turned them down for any reason.
Yeah.
But not anymore. When lunchtime comes, well, you make your excuses and go.
Drive.
Let me catch that
radio. Drive on in.
We can receive on lots of times, but every now and then some little things go wrong where we can't send. The base is in one area, and we work remote controls at the shop. Now he can come on the air when he's repairing the set. He can come on the air, but they can't hear him at all. He has to call one of the trucks, and they have to call back.
How about that? No, I didn't realize that. You know, that's partly it. There's no place in Florida, around the country, where I can drive up and just feel at home.
And everywhere I've been before, there's always several places, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I could just drive up and they'd see me coming and they'd open the door and that's it.
Yeah.
But that's not Florida so much, that's just...
I think that's, well, maybe out in the Midwest there may be some places yet, but I imagine it's changed out there too. I think the closer you get to a farming, pure farming communities, that this is probably true.
Mm-hmm.
But,
well, you've got that in the when you're in business, Red. You've got that customer. You treat people as customers. Now, what they do now? And they're willing to sell them whatever they got. You see, whether they need it or not. It's not just being treated as a customer. And I can't ever remember being bothered with that in times past, but I can detect it right off now. Nothing you can do about it.
Well, you're talking about the hard sell type of approach, or strictly business approach?
Oh, they don't have to sell hard. Say the boy, the fellow down there who sells electric fans at Sears, he's got a half dozen there, none of them worth taking home. And he'll stand there and help you pick out one, just like he had something to sell. And if you would meet him in the street, he'd tell you that they wasn't in the town. Or he might not anymore, but he used to.
Who's that, Wendell Garba?
I
don't know whether he was in hardware. They switched right recently to what do they call them? Not accessories, but refrigerators and stoves and that type.
I think it's rather general. And even you pick up a fella, I'd say an old country boy, but see, you don't have that so much now. Almost anybody, I think, they would shift like that now. Wouldn't be much trouble. Home in town. But I see, and I'll tell you, I see these horse farms, so many of them down there. Now out here in the Shiloh community where G.P. Lightner and old Kelly Pardee live and Willard Chitty and all. Now there's just a little nest left in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sort of wedging in, cornering in on them on all sides.
Yeah.
And
but I don't think they'd stop to ask for sales, and they'll stop and ask their friends. And of course, probably now I'm borderline. I don't see them like they used to.
Yeah.
But I always used to think that G.P. Lightner and most of those people in there, as Zach Rowers and so forth in there, is being friends and customers, you know. And if you were up there, well, yeah, they expected you to stop and eat with them and this type of thing. And of course, if they were down your way, you expected them to stop and eat with you.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, it's changed. Women folks aren't tied to the stove for big meals like they used to be anyhow, and you embarrass them lots of times if they're at meal time. They hadn't planned on something like that, and it's so easy to go out and find something else somewhere. Used to go to Cheapin years ago, and there was the restaurant in Cheapin.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't get anything.
Yes.
You went to a country store, and one little store there where these young people lived in the back of the store, and they'd cook you some eggs for breakfast and make you up sandwiches of some sort through the day. Such as that, but that was the only way you could eat unless you did get to eat with the customers over there. And, you know, it didn't matter if you were a new man, really, unless you just went in and annoyed them in some fashion. Like, if you hadn't met them before when the time came, well, they were almost sure to set a place for you.
Well, I'm sure, yeah. Well, now, you've seen a lot of that, haven't you?
No.
I think that's lucky. I think you're lucky. You've had that. I think that... of the two, I feel
I feel more homeless the Zentralis and all than I do the horse people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah, the horse people are a different breed, obviously.
Now, I've known a few of them, and they're all nice people. I mean, you know, they're all sorts of people. Some of them very nice. But even the nice ones, there's just nothing that I'm particularly interested in.
Well, that's one thing. I mean, all the, of course, the owners themselves have had a big business of some type. And they're perhaps interested in other things than horses, but most of it seems like it's a hard drinking and deal and all this. And since I don't drink, well, I don't fit in too well with some of them. But the managers, of course, come near being there. But all they know is horses, and unless you really know horses, well, you don't have a whole lot in common there to talk about. All I know is farm equipment, so... Of course, they're interested in farm equipment, that's different.
But in Ocala, they are generally pleased with the effect on the economy of the horse farms.
I think most people are, yes. Especially the real estate people.
Yeah.
They don't think that the farm equipment dealers are necessarily really happy about it. And the rate they're buying up land for subdivisions, well, we know we're going to have to keep changing all the time.
Yeah. It's that fast.
Oh, okay. Take from the edge of the city limits all the way to Moss Bluff, from Silver Springs out to Santos, that's one subdivision. Silver Springs Shore. From the north side of Silver Springs up to Anthony, another one outfit has bought that, GAC and Virginia bought that. And the same outfit that owns Silver Springs Shores owns the 6,000 acres that they call Rainbow Springs over there above Dunella. And this type of thing that's going on. And with the new kind of laws you got to either be big or else get out, one or the other, because you can't plat a piece of land and sell it unless you install water and sewage anymore.
Oh, really?
Pave the streets.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In other words, you can't go out there and put up a subdivision and then let the city or the county do all the...
As far as I know, you can't even let them go in there and put in their own well and septic tank.
You mean it's gone that far?
Mm-hmm. Sometime when you get time, you and your wife go to, you know, the Mud Lake area in the scrub?
I just heard people speak of it.
If you go to that area and then turn towards Ocala, and then take 314A and start going into the woods, you'll see why this is happening.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody that's able to buy a mobile home for $100 down and a quarter of an acre lot for $100 down has gone out there and just, it looks like, well, like the old covered section of town used to mighty near it.
Yeah.
Everything you can think of out there, stuck out there in those woods.
Yeah.
And you can see them, nicer looking ones, right on the way to Ocala, across from where Parker Painter's got his laid out for a big subdivision. Here's this motel division, not motel, mobile home subdivision on the west side of the road. And you see these everywhere you go, quarter of an acre, $10 down, and this kind. It's they had to do something, but it looks to me like they've gone far the other way now.
Yeah. Well, you mean you can't do that now?
You can't. Of course, you're on the other side of the county line. But if this were in Marion County, You couldn't say, well, I'm going to take this 40 acres out of here and divide it up and sell it.
Yeah. You'd have to.
Improve. Somebody came along and said, I want to buy an acre. Well, you could sell that acre. But after you've sold 4 or 5 acres, well, I think then somebody stepped in and said, look, you're getting around this law, and we have the law, and you can't get around it.
But if a man buys his acre, he can put anything on he wants to.
He's owned. He can't put anything he wants to anymore. He's got to get zoning permission, you know.
Even out in the county.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you get some ramshackle communities.
Yeah. But that is really one that I'm talking about over there in those woods. And to drive past, you wouldn't think there was anything there.
Yeah.
They call it Lake What is that place in there? It's not Lake Blue, there's another lake right in there. But before you see it advertised in the paper, you know, you think, gee, this sounds good, I'll go out and take a look. And one look and you say, oh Lord, I don't want any part of this.
Well, where do they come from? All over?
Yeah, many of those are people that can drive down from Jacksonville in 2 hours, up to Tampa in 2 hours, into Orlando for an hour and a quarter.
Yeah.
And spend a weekend in the woods, you know.
Yeah. But all your subdivisions out there, now they come from all over.
A great many of those are retired. Great many.
Yeah. So, it's, well, with all that going on, that's just money changing hands all the time.
Yeah, and if you, I'm particularly conscious right now because for 20 years I've had an idea in the back of my mind about how I'd like to build a home. And it just happened that I bought a little piece of land here a while back and turned around and sold it for almost twice what I paid for it. And funny thing about it, we owned the land to start with. Sold the land, bought it back for $1,000 less than I sold it for, and turned around and sold it for almost twice what I paid for it the last time. And so I went looking for a piece of land with the idea in mind that I would like to have a view of a lake or sit on a high hill where I could kind of look out and see from a distance. And so I started reading the land ads. You don't see, the cheapest land you see advertised is $550 an acre.
Yeah.
And that's in large quantity.
Yeah. Well, they don't actually need this this old pork barrel thing we used to talk about, the barge canal. That's outlived its usefulness. I think they'd probably get along better without it.
Well, I think the most sensible thing I've heard was this deal of building an overland railroad between the two points. But I can't see going to Lake George when they've got all these locks and dams and things built here at our expense, and fine machinery is going to sit there and rust away, or somebody's going to have to be paid to sit there and tend to. I have a lot to do with the below ground water levels because I sell a lot of irrigation and I have to design the system and specify the pumps and everything else that has to do with it, so I have to learn quite a bit about it. And I can't say, and I don't think any person there can say, how badly we would pollute the water within 5 miles of the canal. But after 5 miles, I don't think anyone in the state would know the difference. he would be deluded to the point where I just don't believe it. That anyone could ever tell. In fact, I don't believe it would be over a mile, but let's say 5 miles. But we pay 20% more for our freight brought in on a train than they do in Tampa. Sam Peterson, who has a ranch at, if you remember where Guntown, does that name mean anything to you? Has a ranch at Guntown, maybe above Lebanon, below Lebanon Station. The train may haul several carloads of cattle right past his ranch. But it's cheaper for him to let them go on to Tampa and send trucks down there and pick them up in Tampa and bring them back to Bernal. Now, the canal would affect this. It would, within 20 miles of Tampa, you get a 20% cheaper freight rate than you do. Now, here, I think it has helped our freight rate some, the fact that there are ports in Jacksonville and Tampa. But the canal would eliminate some of that. It would open up a chance for brewer's grain and other cattle feeds to come in, and possibly a cheaper way to get oranges and phosphate back into the center of the country. How much good it did the economy? I don't know. I don't profess to know. But the idea of using what we already have built and using then these wide track deals to carry the barges out of the one end and set them in the other end appeals to me. Pardon me just a minute. Okay.
What was it caused all the trouble with the Barge Canal people to start with? But I never hear any talk about it that isn't sort of nasty and partisan.
Well, it's a little hard to say. Of course, one lady up here has been given credit for being the spark plug of the whole affair. And this Lyman Rogers down here, who's almost one of the neighbors, is been given a certain amount of credit. I think, though, if you dug real deep, you'd find it was the railroads in Silver Springs, the owners of Silver Springs, that really did it.
They didn't have anything to gain.
Nothing at all.
And possibly just lose the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a vast amount of influence.
Get a lot of money.
Yeah.
And the railroads themselves have got a lot of get up and go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially after they combined the two railroads.
Yeah.
But when I was working in Tallahassee, working out of Tallahassee, this Vernon, who is now the state geologist, was then he was the assistant geologist. I can't remember the old man's name that was there. But I knew the girls in the office and knew them slightly, one thing or another. And they told me at the time that Ray and Davison, although they were pro-canal down here, had file after file up there where they were doing everything they could to offer evidence that it would be bad, you know. And of course, the sea level canal did have many, many possibilities that it would be bad. You have to go into detail on water. I don't know what your understanding of how water can be handled, but it doesn't necessarily seek its own level. Not underground, it doesn't. Because you can stack water on top of water.
Yeah.
And this type of thing. So you're sitting on three layers of water right here.
Yeah.
And when they build a dam, why they build a dam with the idea that a dirt dam is built, the idea that gravity is going to pull the water back straight down directly. And that's in direct relation with how high it is here and how much pressure there is outward. And so the Earth's base of the dam is built wide enough that you may come within 4 or 5 feet. If you dug in 4 or 5 feet, you may actually find that the water has penetrated that far, but it won't penetrate the last 4 or 5 feet because gravity just isn't going to let it do it. And that water is perched on top of the water.
But even if gravity won't let it. That's one of the points.
It won't run laterally.
Yeah.
When there's an obstruction there, because gravity is pulling it back down.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this canal thing could be controlled.
Sure.
That wouldn't
be controlled.
Spread out.
There's more harm at the moment from old rusted out well casings that are down in the ground, old abandoned wells scattered all over the state than there is, I think, from a cut as they were planning this cut.
Yeah.
Through the area.
Well, you take the lady up here. Now, who is Lyman Rogers?
He's right down here at Orange Springs or somewhere close by. But he's ahead of Conservation 70s or whatever that is.
Oh, he's a new man. I didn't get on to him. I just saw his picture here the other night.
I saw him on TV for the first time, and it was a real surprise because someone and mentioned him was very derogatory about him. It's, oh, he's just an old file hand. He's just not an educated man, doesn't know him, but he handled his words well and seemed to know how to put them together, make sense in the way he thought. You know,
yeah.
I may disagree
yeah.
with the way he thinks, but.
Yeah.
On the other hand, like, he wasn't at loss for words. And
he's from down here, between here and O'Malley?
Right, I think right down here at
Orange
between
Lake?
Here and Orange Lake. I don't know exactly where he lives, but it's right close to
him. Well, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Now, I don't go in for those things much. I listen to, now, this is from the lawyer who was on that Saturday night when Channel 2 had a hearing a couple of weeks ago. His name's Fields. And he and this fellow at the university here, David Anthony, he's a biologist, I think. Mm-hmm. They were the authorities, so to speak, one for and one again. And then they had two people asking questions. And it's the first time I've been able to listen to a thing like that and actually cut through the argument. They didn't argue so much. I mean, they wasn't tense. They weren't tense.
Yeah.
And I wrote him a letter and told him that the worst thing I had ever seen about canal is that it breeds such feverish feelings. And people go around putting on their influence, you see. The people in Jacksonville are very particular about what Channel 4 puts on the radio, television.
Oh.
And like that. And then they have, oh, you know, it's...
you get a very slanted view, first from one side and then from the other.
Yeah. And it ties up these congressmen. You see, they all get together down here at the head of time, see what they're going to support for the state of Florida. And that, then they don't, it's not of their conscience anymore.
Of course, how much was ever their conscience, I don't know, but a lot of it was pure politics, the necessity to give a little here in order to get a little there, and it was horse trading,
and
what was good for their group would be good for their vote, and that's all in the world. It's ever been, as far as I know. It's maybe an occasional man out there that was Yeah. Trying his best to go through without cooperating, but he just can't do it. No way in the world that I'm allowed to do it.
Yeah. Well, now, you know, it don't take much like that, Red, to take Congressman off your list. These fellas here, now, your man down at Marion County, and the others concerning this, I wouldn't write them about anything. I don't think they'd listen to a thing I said. I don't mean just that canal. But and if I write a letter, I'll write it to someone else I think will listen.
You're talking about Jim Williams and Ralph
Chappell.
Oh, Bill Chappell, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm just talking about the regular congressman, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have any ill feelings toward them, but I don't think they listen to a thing anybody said. A letter would just be a waste of postage. And and because their hands are tied, they tie their own hands.
Well, they do to an extent. We pay each year to this small business thing where every month they send in a pro and con on some of the laws that are expected to come up and ask how we feel about them. And we check our views and mail it back in. And it and a copy used to go to Chappell and to the Republican up there. And now I don't know. Now I think perhaps they just give them a sheet stating that so many or such percent are for and so many against.
Yeah.
these things, of course, have a great deal to do with it, but you always have the feeling when you're all through that if Carl Rose, for instance, had been for it, well, your chances were a hell of a sight better of getting it, or if he were against it, why, no matter how many letters went up there, why, you'd have to have an awful lot of opposition to somebody like that, you know what I mean, in order to register. But you get people all head up. Just think. Last year in the Everglades, what were they doing? Do you know what they were doing last year in the Everglades? What the people of the state were crying about?
Was that the jet port?
Well, the jet port was one.
Yeah.
But the other was the fact that there was so much water that the deer were dislocated.
Yeah.
And they went out there with airboats and tried to rescue fawn. I think the total was 6 fawn rescued, and God knows how many they ran the doe away from the fawn. But it was a very small amount of deer that they actually rescued.
Yeah.
The year before that, they were crying because of the gators. It was so dry that the gators didn't have a place to survive.
Yeah.
And this year, they have already spent $250,000, according to one report, to keep the gators out of Miami, or to take them out of Miami and put them back in the Everglades. Now, can you imagine $250,000 just for this purpose? Because they...
You mean they're leaving home?
Well, they're spreading so fast. They stopped the slaughter of them.
Yeah.
And nature took care of it with the water. I mean, they had plenty of breeding places.
Yeah.
So they're spreading out. And every time you turn around, well, they're in every little canal or every little pond. An alligator gets across country like a turtle does.
Yeah.
And these walking catfish. But, I mean, people... The alligator people, are not, I don't know whether they're the same ones that cried about the deer the following year or not.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always somebody raising a huge alarm about something that if they'll just sit still, nature will take care of.
Yeah.
Did you see the man on TV last night talking about Pakistan?
No.
I think he said that in spite of the pestilences, the wars, and every other thing that has happened to them, that they're still increasing at a rate better than 2 to 1.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it just sits back, nature takes care of everything.
Yeah. Well, now what's swelling Marion County is the Gold Coast and all filling up to the extent that they're just coming inland.
Have you been to Orlando lately?
No. That is that it?
I wish you would just go to Orlando.
Yeah.
And go once a month for a period. Just drive down and back if you can.
Yeah.
You will see an open field this month, and
yeah,
the next month a completely built village out there. Shopping centers,
yeah,
everything that's yours, in what was an open field a month ago.
Yeah.
Land is $3,000 an acre, 30 miles out.
Yeah. Well, it looks like they want to slow that down instead of hastening it.
Well, it should. But real estate people aren't interested in that, and there's more real estate people banded together than anything else that I know of.
See, I have a feeling somebody's trying to ring here, and this telephone's off out of whack. Yeah, it rings once and then quits. What I wrote this lawyer about, he and is it rained in? Hello? He and who is the sportsman on Channel 2? He outdoor man. You know him, he wears that plaid jacket and talks about fishing.
I don't get to see him because I never get home until around 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, the reason I wrote him was they were talking about the Rodman Dam,
mm-hmm,
keeping or not keeping it. And I wrote him and told him that I thought these fellas had put their attention in the wrong place. For one thing, this outdoor man asked David Anthony there towards the end. He says, all right, now you've got all these cars backed up there and people in wheelchairs out there throwing the fishing hooks in. Where are you going to send them? Well, I don't think Robert Dan's the answer to it. And I don't think they've got an answer to it. I think the answer to it is that all the fishing territory in Florida is just contaminated. You can't keep the vegetation out of it. And then it's also overused. And there's no just little cases, all I know, up here at Payne's Prairie. You see, they had those, at one time, they had those nice canals on both sides. And now you can practically walk across them with the hydrant.
Don't try it.
Hydrants are so thick.
I know they're thick, but don't try it.
Yeah. Well, nothing done about any of it.
Well, I think that once Rodman Pool was an accomplished fact, that Rodman Pool should have been left alone. I mean, this is my personal feeling. For a period of time, it's going to create a good big recreational area for people who from Jacksonville and other towns are going to have to find recreational areas within driving distance. And that's only an hour out of Jacksonville. Gainesville, 30 minutes or something like this. Take the dumb little backwater. No one has said one word. One man has broached the subject of the dumb little backwater. It's 40 some odd years old. It's been one of the best fishing places around. It's provided a home for ducks and water birds.
Uh-huh.
And it's never been a pollution area. Now, the only reason we're getting a pollution area is because they keep inviting more businesses and more people into the state.
Yeah.
And after so long a time, you're going to have. But take any of the old countries, and you probably know a lot more than I do about them. But population, I mean, even if we're as thick as we are right now, we're still, as I understand it, really wide open spaces in comparison to these people that live together and eat together and drink together and carry the night soil back to the garden the next morning to fertilize it and this type of thing. And still, we ought to go over there and visit and see these things. Now, this is known how as ecology. Until you get over here and you tread on somebody's toe, and most of the time they don't even know what they're talking about. I would like to know how many times that this lady here was ever on the Ocklawaha River. Most of the time you can't see into it 6 inches. Yeah, I've been fishing it since 1930 off and on. I don't dare go on it anymore. These speedboats come up and down there so fast around those snaky curves until my wife and I have a canoe and she can't swim. But even the life jacket on it, I spend all my time trying to point that canoe into the bow of the wake of somebody's boat that's speeding up the thing. And Silver Springs Run is beautiful. It's against a lot of fish in there. But when I first started, why it wasn't, and I haven't fished a good many years, but we used to go up in there quite regularly, even after they closed it for a short distance. And you can see the two streams come together. One is perfectly clear, and the other one is black as silk. And always has been, behind the heavy rains. Now, in low water, you can take down there where Norris Cattle Company's got the Ocklawaha Farms, and the old riverbed winds through there, and it's been discarded for years. But you can wade, most of the time, from Moss Bluff, way down past Heather Island, which is almost to the Salt Spring, the Silver Springs inlet there. Wade it. And 90% of the time, in the old days, you had to look up in the trees very carefully before you put your boat under there, because the chances were good that a moccasin or some other water snake would come sliding out of the tree and fall in the boat with you. As far as it being a romantic river, I can't say that it ever was from my viewpoint. All it was a dirty, winding stream in there that had a lot of vegetation falling in it every year. All the leaves from those swamp trees had to fall down there and be flushed into it. And hyacinths, which of course are an outside crop brought in here that no one's been able to control. They argue about whether they should spray it and let it go to the bottom or whether they should not spray it and let the fish grow underneath it. They'll be arguing that as long as we live, and probably a lot longer. I don't know who's right, but there's just some things that have gotten out of balance that they're not going to balance. I don't think drawing Lake Apopka down and flushing it all down through the Ocklawaha River eventually is going to help the Ocklawaha River or Rodman Pool or anywhere else. Look at what happened here at Orange Lake just, 10 years ago when they wanted to plug the sinkhole over there and build a dam on the other end of the lake, because the people at fishing resorts down there some years couldn't operate, and other years had the best fishing in the world. You'd go clean up to Etowah, Tennessee, and stop for gas, and they'd see your tag and want to know how the fishing was. Now, they knew more about the fishing in Orange Lake than I did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all these people say the lakes have got to come and go, or they won't be good.
You got some more tea?
Thank you, I have enough.
How about you?
I just listened to right on. That's right.
It seemed to me like the energy that would go into keeping the lake over here open and some of the other fishing territory
has gone into this confounded barge canal. And furthermore, they get it in politics so much, they tie up to the officials.
Well, yeah, it's taken up a lot of wasted time, pros and cons on it. Yeah, it's just doing that. But I can't see abandoning what you already have when a different form of recreation will come in. That surely the water is going to infiltrate the ground over the period of years just as well without the trees there as it did with the trees there. If they're talking about a recharge area, they may open up a bigger recharge area than they did before. I think they need a little better control of, take Moss Bluff Dam. If that dam wasn't in there, what do you think we'd have at Lake Griffin, Lake Dora, Lake Harris, and Lake Apopka? Of course, Apopka's got its own dam, evidently. But there's another lake, Lake Eustis. All those lakes are more or less held a certain level because there's a little dam right there at Moss Bluff. And that's been there longer than I've been in the country.
Yeah.
And these people are going wild about these other things, and they've got man-made lakes all over the state, and gosh knows all up the country. Anywhere anybody wanted to put in a hydroelectric power plant, well, the only people that complained about it was the people that had to move, and they got paid enough, they didn't complain much.
Well, at one time, I thought, I got the idea that if the political people wanted to do anything, like the Canal Authority, they could just get the word around and get a few of the Chambers of Commerce, and they reach out in all directions. And I still think that's possible. And I don't think there's much light in the chambers anymore. They've got a lot of business interests, but I can't talk about it, see, because I don't take part in it. Anyhow, I wouldn't trust them. I don't know who I would trust. There's nothing personal about it, you know.
The chambers aren't any different than a church or anybody else, are they? I mean, the most people that want something that are the most vociferous about it are the ones that are going to get it.
But what I'm thinking about, Brendan, something could be done about the fishing in the waterways. But nothing is being done about it. All that effort and money is somehow or other getting wound up in these controversial things.
Well, that's just because the chambers divided during Ocala. Some of these men's wives are just as serious about it, and they go home, and they, in order to have peace in the family, they got to go back to the chamber meeting and say, I changed my mind, I'm for or against it.
You mean the chamber itself is divided?
Certainly, yeah, it's divided.
Yes. Yes, I thought they'd go down the road.
Oh, no. No, they're divided very much so at the moment. Of course, every time you say you lose another business, well, they're getting more and more together again.
Yes, but...
You give this thing 5 more years and you won't hear anything about ecology. I don't know what we'll be fussing about, but it won't be ecology.
Yeah. Well, I'm not talking about ecology now.
I'm saying the general public. I'm not talking you and I or anybody, but I'm saying the general public right now. The word ecology is the most overworked word in the business. But the first time you tell some plant, well, now you're polluting the air, and you either shut down or you put these in, and they say, we just don't have the money, we're going to have to shut down.
Yeah.
And then go talk to the employees and see what his first reaction is. The hell with ecology. It means my job, boy. I want to live and eat and play.
But now I'm trying to stay within my experience, you know, and not tell you what happens outside my experience. Now, Benny Franklin runs this mill over here, and
I never heard any ill reports of him. He sort of pushes to making up the commission around so they won't overtax him. Is all I've heard. Well, he got a boy working for him named Gigger who can do all sorts of mechanical things, keep those old trucks running, and he can make a airboat. And he been